evening, we're going to turn to the book of Luke. You can grab your pew Bible and turn to Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. And the title of my message tonight is The Reckless and Unrelenting Love of God. And so we're going to read two parables from Luke chapter 15, and we're going to dig into those words tonight from Luke. So if you would follow along as we read together, beginning at verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. "Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we've read your word here this evening, and I pray through your Spirit that you bring that word to life. Lord, I pray too that, Lord, you fill me with that same Spirit. And Lord, I pray too that my voice will hold out through this message this evening. Lord, I pray too for those that have gathered here that they are filled with your Spirit and they receive your word. May they grow in faith and through your work in them. Jesus, I pray. Amen. It is interesting how many references there are in Scripture to sheep and shepherds. You can probably think back to Sunday school as a child and the many stories that you've learned in the Bible. It's one of those commonplace, everyday sort of images, like the potter and the clay, that the biblical writers drew on to communicate about God and who he was and what he was like. Everyone in Jesus' day knew about sheep and shepherds. They saw them every day as they went about their business, as they traveled from town to town. It was an image that everyone understood. Today's lesson from Luke is among the most well-known of the sheep and the shepherd's stories, taken from Luke 10, which we just read. I'd like to read one of those verses in there, just one of those verses to you one more time as a refresher. When it says, "It's just like this in heaven, there will be more joy over one sinner who repents than over 99 good people who need no repentance." It's a great story. God cares for each of us so much that God will leave the 99 other sheep in the wilderness, mind you, and come to search for the one that is lost. The message seems simple. All the shepherd's sheep are equally important. All God's children are equally important. You know, this isn't the only place that where Jesus tells this parable. It's told in the book of Matthew as well, but it's a little bit refined and maybe even dumbed down just a little bit according to what we just read in the book of Luke. But let me point out a few of those differences to you this evening. In Matthew, the shepherd leaves his flock in the relative safety of the side of the mountain. But in Luke, especially in the RSV, it tells us that the sheep are left in the danger of the wilderness. where there's predators lurking. In Matthew, it says, if the shepherd finds a lost sheep, he rejoices. But in Luke, it says, until he finds the lost sheep, then he will rejoice. What a difference. Not if, but until he finds that lost sheep. Although the message is essentially the same, Luke's version describes God's love as being more radical and persistent than in Matthew's version. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. As a loving shepherd, once you leave your 99 sheep, even if they were in a dangerous place, to go out and search for that one lost sheep. That's the question Jesus asks us tonight. Certainly, you would not give up. You would go and look. You know, I think there might have been a few people in the crowd that were listening and thinking, what is this guy thinking? Why would he leave 99 sheep in the scary place of the wilderness that they could be attacked to go find one miserable lost sheep out there in the world? Why would that be? That makes no sense. Put the whole flock at risk? I wonder tonight, where do you put yourself in this story? Are you the one who's lost? Are you part of the 99? Sometimes we might find ourselves in both places in our lives. You know, this is a heartwarming story for us, especially if you're the one who's lost. God is searching for you. You might be in a bad place. You might be in a place where you're caught up in sin or whatever that might be in your life. But it's pretty disturbing if you're part of the 99, though, isn't it? That you've been left behind. Doesn't that strike you as rather reckless? Even maybe irresponsible, maybe an irresponsible thing for the shepherd or for God to do to his flock, to his church, to his people? It doesn't seem to make any sense. And yet Jesus insists that God will do that. That's how much love he has for us. He's willing to take that chance to find that one lost sinner or soul that needs to be restored or brought into the kingdom of heaven. And so God's love is reckless. By most worldly common sense standards, I guess we might think that God's love is even a little bit foolish or maybe even irresponsible. For God is so concerned about the lost sinner that God will never give up on them. That's the difference between God and us, isn't it? God believes that each child is so valuable that God is willing to risk the 99 for the sake of one. Even though it makes no sense to us and borders on reckless and irresponsible. But God will keep searching until, not if, but until that one lost sheep is found. Many of you know lost sheep today. They might reside right in your own family. It might be a brother or sister, a mother or father, a son or daughter, a grandchild that we would maybe consider to be lost sheep. So may I give you hope tonight that God is relentless, that God loves that one lost sinner, and he continues to pursue his people. Now, when Jesus got done telling this parable, everybody kind of looked at him in astonishment, like, really? This is what God would do? Leave the 99 to look for the one? A lot of them weren't getting it. And maybe you're not fully getting the love of God here tonight as I explain this to you through this parable. So Jesus begins to follow up with another parable. He tells the parable of the housewife who lost a coin. Each of these coins represented a day's wages that would have taken her several months to save up. They were valuable. So this woman is understandably concerned about her loss. It meant so much to her. It's all she had. So she tears apart the house to look for this coin. And when she finds it, she's so excited that she throws a party for all her friends and neighbors, and she invites them over, and she celebrates. And she probably spends more on the party than what the coin is worth. Jesus says that that woman's joy over finding her coin is like God's joy when one sinner repents and is found and is brought back into the flock of Jesus Christ. Now Jesus looks around again. There are even more frustrated looks in the crowd. As if people were thinking, why would that woman throw a party for a lost coin? Just like I just told you a minute ago, this party would cost more than what the coin was worth. It's fiscally irresponsible. It's reckless spending. Doesn't make any sense. And yet, that is exactly the point that Jesus wants to make to us tonight. Even as that single coin was important to the woman, so one person is of ultimate importance to God. You are important to God. God's grace is radical. It's more than what we can imagine. It's more than I can put into words and try to explain to you tonight. It goes beyond what you can think. That's God's grace. God's love for you and I is so deep. It even seems irresponsible when we try to think of it in the proper terms. And that's why he would send his son, Jesus, to the cross to die for our sins. Take this good news home with you tonight. All of God's children are loved, and God doesn't abandon any of them. Never. So maybe you're there today and maybe you're distant from God, or maybe you know somebody that's lost and they're far from God. Know that God has not abandoned them. He's still here. He's still doing his work through the cross of Christ. The church is still alive in the world today, never to be stomped out. The grace of God is far more risky, far more radical, more reckless than those of us in the church would like to admit how far God will go to save a sinner. But in the face of this scripture, it's hard to deny, to leave the 99 to find the one. The truth of the gospel message is this tonight, people. God's love is reckless. God's love is irresponsible. God's love doesn't always make rational sense. But God's love never gives up on you and I or the lost sinner that you might know in your life. God will search for us until, not if, but until we are found. And there will be great joy in heaven. All of this made possible by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross some 2,000 years ago. And all of God's people said,